The Fan, Lori Rubenson here with you. And, well, the Yankees, they keep winning, but every time they look up, it doesn't seem to matter because the Red Sox, they're 85 and 35. 85 and 35. It's absurd. To talk about the Red Sox and to get to the bottom of what has been making them so damn good this year, we bring in old friend Pete Abraham, who covers the Red Sox for the Boston Globe. Hey, Pete, how are you?
Hey, Lori, how are you?
I'm doing well, but I'm not doing as well as the Red Sox. So I want to get to Chris Sale. I want to get to a lot of different things. But the first thing I want to understand is, at what point this team, this is a franchise, the Boston Red Sox, that have never finished a regular season with 100 wins, and yet here they are on pace to finish over 110 wins this season. At what point, when was the first time this season that you started to get a sense of what this team was capable of?
Well, you know, they came out of the gate very fast, and right away you thought, well, you know, they're probably better than we think they are. But for me, it was really how easily J.D. Martinez fit into this team and how much they needed a hitter like that in their lineup. And the other part of it is you could see how comfortable Chris Sale was in his second year with the Red Sox. I think the first year, having been with the White Sox his entire career, there was a lot of a feeling out process. You could tell he wasn't really sure about some of the things going on. But the second year, he's been a different guy. He's been much more open, I think, with the fans, with the media. He just seems much more comfortable, and that's translated to, I think, what's probably been the best performance of his career. He's been almost unhittable for about a month and a half now.
Yeah, I saw something, a stat that says Chris Sale has a 0.2 ERA in his past seven starts. 0.2? You know, like, what even is that? So Chris Sale had been on the disabled list, gets back off the disabled list today, and I can read the box score and see, you know, that he was in there for five innings, obviously seemed dominant with the strikeouts, but you were there. What did it look like from your perspective at the game?
Well, you know, he was on the disabled list, but he was not necessarily injured. He had some soreness in his shoulder. It was nothing that they were concerned about, even to the extent of getting an MRI. They were just being very cautious with, obviously, a guy who's their ace, and making sure there wasn't any problem. I think if they were one game up in the standings and not, at the time, nine, they probably would have just given him a couple extra days off and then had him make a start. But because they had this cushion, they decided to give him what amounted to 15 days off. And everybody kind of wanted to see what he would look like in the first inning. And his fourth pitch was 99. So, you know, at that point, I think it was, well, this is going to be okay. And then he started striking everybody out. I mean, he faced 16 hitters, and only three of them put the ball in play. And it was just, it was unbelievable to watch. And you watch, you know, he was as good as he's been all season. And this was without having pitched in a game in 15 days.
So, yeah. In a lot of ways, is this almost a maintenance, or as you said, with a guy who's so important, given the cushion and the lead, almost, you know, sort of throttling it back so that he'll be fresh for the postseason?
Yeah, no doubt. And they're not coming out and saying that because Alex Cora doesn't want to be disrespectful to the teams behind them. But like today, for instance, they didn't play Xander Bogaerts and Andrew Benintendi, neither of whom were injured. They just wanted to give them some time off. He's been very careful about Mookie Betts, very careful with J.D. Martinez, with the relievers. And it's kind of like he's got an eye on the future, but they're not looking ahead, if that makes any sense. He's kind of preparing for September, and they're going to have six games against the Yankees at the end of the year. And his job right now as a manager, I think, is to make sure Chris Sale is ready to go in that first game of the postseason and setting up your rotation to make sure that happens.
Yeah, so I think most Yankee fans have started to, at this point, write it off and say, catching the Red Sox seems, we've seen some of the epic collapses in history of teams that have been able to, that you know, catch another team. But I think most Yankee fans, realistically, not thinking it's going to happen. As you look, but you covered the Yankees for a number of years in this town. You had a great Yankees blog. I always enjoyed the Yankees have, you know, they're the Yankees. It's not like they've been chopped liver this year. You know, they're sitting there at 74 and 43. And yet, you know what things are like in this town. How would you judge the Yankee season so far?
Well, I think it's been great. And if the Red Sox weren't having just a ridiculous season, it would be a heck of a pennant race for sure. I think right now the biggest difference with the Yankees and the Sox is Judge being on a disabled list has really changed their lineup. And it would be the equivalent of J.D. Martinez being out for the Red Sox. And as good as Stanton is and as good as Gregorius and some of their other hitters are, when you don't have that guy in the middle of the lineup that you know you can count on, it really changes everything. And that, to me, has been the biggest difference with the Red Sox. They didn't have that hitter last year when David Ortiz retired. They went out and signed J.D. Martinez, and nobody's ever going to be David Ortiz, but he's provided that kind of impact in the middle of the lineup, and I think that's made life a lot easier for Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi, all the rest of their guys, because they know they've got that bopper in the middle who can, one swing of the bat, change the whole course of a game.
Talking to Pete Abraham, covers the Red Sox for the Boston Globe, used to cover the Yankees in these parts. Pete, so before you mentioned Aaron Judge obviously being out, and not only, of course, that fixture, that big bat in the middle of the lineup, but really has become the leader in the clubhouse for this Yankees team, of the position players. And when, you know, prior to this last series, which obviously went horribly for the Yankees, the Yankees had been playing with Judge in the lineup, had been playing the Red Sox pretty tough so far this season. Is there a sense in Boston with a healthy Judge, if these teams were to face off in the playoffs, with all the weapons the Sox have, is there a sense in Boston that they think they would have the Yankees number, or still that healthy respect that with a Judge there, this is anybody's series?
Oh, I certainly don't think there's any sense we can have the Yankees number, because the season series between the two teams has been very close and very well played. The biggest advantage they would have, obviously, is having a home field advantage, and especially in a 5-game series, that could make all the difference in the world. And the other advantage that they would have is the Yankees presumably would need to use one of their frontline pitchers in the wild card game, and the Red Sox would be sitting back with 3 days off, able to line up Sale and Price and Porcello however they wanted to. So these advantages would be significant, and it's basically what baseball wanted to do. They wanted to make the wild card more difficult, and not like it had been in the past where teams were content to take the wild card because there really wasn't much of a disadvantage to it. Now you really need to sweat the wild card, and winning the division brings a lot of rewards, and obviously the Red Sox are hoping that they can reap those rewards.
Pete, sometimes there are teams where we've seen it that they're built for the regular season and regular season success, and then when it gets to the playoffs, there are elements about them that don't make them successful postseason teams. Is there anything about this Red Sox team, in your opinion, is this team built for the postseason? Any potential weaknesses that could rear themselves in the postseason?
Well, offensively, I think they are. They don't strike out a whole lot. They obviously have a lot of power. They have some speed. They've shown the ability to create runs without necessarily hitting home runs. The question I have about them would be their bullpen. Craig Kimbrell's going through a rough time right now these last 2 weeks. He's been very hittable. Matt Barnes, who's their eighth inning guy, gave up a run today in the Baltimore game, made the game a little closer. And I was a little surprised at the trade deadline that they didn't make a move to bolster their bullpen. Now, the one thing that could change that is come the postseason, whether it's Nathan Eovaldi or Eduardo Rodriguez or somebody else, they're going to move a starter into the bullpen, and that'll obviously change the mix down there. But I still think the Yankee bullpen is better. They're deeper. You got a guy like David Robertson who can come in the sixth or seventh inning. The Red Sox don't have a guy like that. So if it gets down to a bullpen game, I think the Yankees have an advantage. But the Red Sox have so much offensive firepower that it might not come down to that. You know, they could be able to just give themselves a pretty healthy lead and hope that their bullpen can take care of it from there.
one guy who had been interesting in this series and in this rivalry between the Red Sox and the Yankees, and then we saw a very different version in this most recent series, was David Price. And I know even, I think it was July 1st, was the game that these teams played, and the Yankees beat up like crazy on Price. And after that, he talked about how he had to have a different approach. And I know I came on the radio station here after that game that night and basically said, you know, use the who's your daddy line, that the Yankees were David Price's daddy at that point. What happened to David Price in the last start, and he looks like a different pitcher?
Yeah, he is. He has been a different pitcher. And primarily, it's he's throwing a lot fewer four-seam fastballs and getting hitters out with his cut fastball, with a changeup, with a slider. He's really emphasized his secondary pitches far more than his fastball. And I think that's a concession to getting older, and it's also a concession, frankly, to getting beaten up by a few teams and understanding that he can't just blow a fastball by certain hitters, especially some of the Yankee hitters, and that he has to rely on changing speeds and changing angles and things like that. Now, I think that happens with every pitcher as they get into their 30s, and David's had a long career. We've seen it with, you know, a number of, you know, CC Sabathia is going through that right now, too. But I think with David, being a lefty and having the experience that he's had, he's able to make that transition pretty quickly, and he's been sharp the last five games. He's been very good. He's been the guy that they've needed him to be. And obviously, he's not Sale, and he's not going to be the ace of the staff. That they're paying him a heck of a lot of money to be the number two guy. But he's been a pretty solid number two guy, and that last game against the Yankees, I think, kind of banished a lot of the demons and let everybody up here at least know that, you know, this is not something that's going to be an issue moving forward. At least I hope not after that one game.
Last minute before I let you go is that the Red Sox obviously have a first-year manager in Alex Cora, and we know Boston is a town that can be brutal on its managers. You've seen some come and go. How is Alex Cora different than some of the managers you've seen?
Well, I think the biggest thing is he played for the Red Sox, and he knew what it was like. He was on the World Series team in 2007. So he knows the town. He knows the people here. He kind of knows the media and what certain people are up to and maybe what certain people aren't up to. And the other thing that he had going for him is he spent 4 years working for ESPN. So he got to understand the media side of it. And you can say, well, you know, that's TV side. You know, how much is he really learning about the day-to-day workings of a manager? But as he's pointed out to us a couple different times, whether it was Jason Stark or Tim Kirkjian, there were a lot of newspapers, former newspaper guys who were working for ESPN. And Alex spent a lot of time around those guys. And I don't think that he was necessarily saying, what's it like in Boston? But he was getting a sense from those guys, you know, why do you ask this particular question? What is it that you're trying to accomplish, you know, before the game when you talk, you know, when you talk about certain things? And I think that's really helped him coming into Boston. And the way he's responded with the media has kind of been to keep things light. He's not necessarily giving anything away, but he's also, I think, has an understanding of how people are trying to do their jobs, and he's not afraid to help you do your job. You know, it's not giving away anything that's going to hurt the team. Whereas in the past, I think that started to get to John Farrell after a while. Obviously, Terry Francona needed some time away from it. So Alex is, I think, because of his experience as a player and then in TV, he was kind of the perfect guy to come to Boston, and there really weren't too many guys with his kind of resume.
Yeah, it's fun to manage when you're 85 and 35. Pete Abraham from the Boston Globe. I'm sure that we'll be catching up on more Red Sox Yankees this season. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, Laurie. Appreciate it.